Ms. Hiller.
Good morning. I'll be the fly on the wall.
Okay, we are recording. Dr. Cornwell, the meeting is yours.
Okay. All right, I bring this meeting of the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy, August 25th, 2020, session. And let's start by roll call. Who's here?
We'll have a roll call vote. Dr. Cornwell?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Board member Dr. King?
Here.
Board member Ms. Hunter?
Here.
Board member Mr. Clinton?
Here.
Board member Dr. Bastillo?
Here.
Staff Ms. Chepius?
Here.
Staff Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Staff Ms. Crowley?
Present.
Staff Ms. Richardson?
Here.
Attorney General Mr. Harris?
Morning.
We have a quorum.
And it is 8:31.
And the meeting is at 8:31.
So first item on the agenda is item two, review and approval of draft minutes. So 2A, July 28, 2020, regular meeting minutes. Are there any additions, corrections to those minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second. I'll put Kelly a second. It's been moved and seconded to approve the July 28, 2020 regular session meeting minutes. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. So item 2B, June 30th, 2020, executive session meeting A. Are there any corrections for that?
I'm going to ask all the, we're just going to take a little pause here for a second. I'm going to ask all the participants who are not board members to please turn off your mics. Please mute yourself until such time that your board agenda item is up for consideration. Thanks. Okay, we're at the June 30th executive session meeting A. We need a motion.
I so moved that we accept them.
Second.
Who seconded?
Dr. King.
Thank you, Dr. King. It's been moved and seconded to accept the June 30th, 2020 executive session meeting A. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King? Dr. King?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Abstain.
Thank you.
All right. Item 2C, June 30th, 2020, executive session B.
I make a motion to approve the executive session B as presented. I keep hearing somebody in the background talking.
All right, we have a motion to approve executive session meeting B. We need a second to the motion.
Okay. Dr. King.
Thank you, Dr. King. It's been moved and seconded to accept the June 30th, 2020 executive session meeting minutes B. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter? Thank you.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter? Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Abstain.
Thank you.
All right, final 2D, June 30th, 2020, executive session C.
I make a motion to approve June 30th, 2020, executive session C as presented.
Second. Greer second.
Mr. Greer second. It's been moved and seconded to approve the June 30th, 2020 Executive Session C minute meetings. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Pastillo?
Abstain.
Thank you.
All right, agenda item 3A, application for licensure and certification. 3A1, review, consideration, approval of applications for physical therapist assistance with documentation related to disclosure on personal information section of the application. Julie Henk.
I make a motion to approve this application.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Julie Henk for application for a physical therapist assistant. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Pastillo?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
All right, next item is 2A2, Joseph Arzadon?
Mm-hmm. Arzadon.
Make a motion that we approve the application for physical therapist assistant pending passing the exam.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Joseph Arzadon. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. For certification, Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Pastillo?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you.
All right, next item is 3A13, Adam Ray.
This is Ed King. I make a motion that we approve the application for certification for a physical therapist assistant for Adam Ray, pending on passing the exam.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Adam Ray for certification following completion of his application. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Pastillo?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay. Agenda item 3A21, Agenda Gottmeyer, review of and possible action on application for physical therapist assistant licensure from applicant requesting ADA accommodations. So, Jenna.
I'm sorry.
I had a question. It appears that she had
time
and a half at MCC, but she doesn't indicate why she needs twice the time now.
Veronica, did you hear the question?
I heard, but I didn't hear a question. I just heard a statement.
Say that again. And if you're speaking into a speaker, Veronica, we need you actually on the phone. We can't hardly hear you.
No, I am on the phone.
Okay.
But I didn't hear a question is what I'm saying.
Dr. Cornwell, if you could restate your question.
Okay, so I didn't see any rationale for why she needed twice the time when she, in the past, like at MCC, she had time and a half. And so I'm not, you may not have that kind of, I mean, if we have everything, there's may not be anything in there.
Well, there is a page in a report, it says one of six, or actually on the bottom right corner, one of six, and it specifies in her accommodation notes, testing, extended testing, it says double time. If you see, let's see, on the left corner, it says page 104, but on the right side, it's 106. So it's from Mesa Community College.
Yeah. No, I saw those. I don't consider those rationales, but, I'll make a motion that we approve her for time and a half to take the exam.
Well, just so you know, it's only her law exam that you guys are approving for.
It's just the law exam?
Yeah, she's already passed her national.
Okay, well, I just modify that. So time and a half for the Arizona law exam.
Okay.
Dr. Cornwell, just to clarify, she's also asking, I think, for a separate room. Are we okay with both of those, time and a half and a separate room?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, then King second.
I think we're ready to call.
So the motion is to approve time and a half in a separate room to complete the AZ law exam for Jenna Kremer. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Pastillo?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
All right. Item 3A22, Amanda Posey.
That we accept her application for ADA accommodation, which is additional time, and I believe it was time and a half, if I remember correctly.
Ms. Cardoza, can you verify what the ADA accommodation is, please?
It's time and a half. It says it right on the menu, on the memo.
I know. I'm just asking for clarification.
Yeah, just sorry,
I just didn't have it pulled up, so apologies.
So do we have a motion?
Yes.
I make a motion to approve Amanda Posey for her ADA accommodations as presented.
Second.
Any discussion?
This is Josh. I know we've talked about this in the past, but this one, I just don't see the disability. I see describe the nature, history, extent of the disability, how it limits one or more candidates' major like activities. The answer is processing information. And then the next question is what effect does the disability have on the candidate's ability to perform? And all we have is slow to process information. And I just think this one, the medical background is insufficient.
I have the same concern. This is, we're seeing several of these where there's really little or no documentation of a disability or, there's a history of her having accommodations in the past. But there's no evaluation, there's no summary, there's no, no medical, even psychological evaluation. So I'm literally
about to request that from the applicant.
Pardon?
If you guys want, we can table it and I can request it from the applicant.
No, we have a motion on the table to approve. If you want to do something else, you're going to have to go through that vote and decline the approval and then make a decision on whether you want to deny the ADA accommodations or table for more information. But right now, you have a motion on the table.
Yes. So is everybody, understand how you want to vote?
So right now, your motion is to approve the time and a half, right? That's your motion that's been moved and seconded. That is the motion you're going to vote on. Should the board choose not to want to give her time and a half, they would vote no.
So this is Peggy. So Josh, I understand your concern and Dr. Cornwell, but this MD who signed this, doesn't that suffice as a good recommendation for an evaluation or not?
I based on that, I'm not sure the doctor did an evaluation.
Oh, okay.
I kind of envision she goes in and talks to her doctor. The doctor says, "Oh, yeah, it's no big deal to me."
Oh, okay.
Dr.
Bissier? I understand your concern.
Yeah, this is Karen. I just feel like if she's had this all the way through school, and then to give her a national examination or a state examination without the additional accommodation of time and a half, she'll struggle. It should be. Certainly anxiety producing as well as the processing issues. So I am not opposed to giving her time and a half, but I do appreciate everybody's concern, and I do feel like we do need to continue to stress that people have to have these medical evaluations as part of their applications if that's what they're requesting.
Any other discussion? You ready to call the question?
Yes.
So the motion before you is to approve Amanda Posey for time and a half for her exam. Dr. Cornwell.
No.
Mr. Greer.
No.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
No.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
The motion is a tie, which means the motion fails.
I move that we table this and ask her to submit further documentation. More than likely, they should have done an evaluation at MCC. I think it was MCC.
Right.
So it shouldn't be that hard for her to provide.
Okay. Will do.
Greer second.
Thank you, Mr. Greer. So it has been moved and seconded to table to obtain further documentation regarding her disability. You're in discussion. Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
The motion is to table for further documentation regarding disability status on Amanda Posey. Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay, we're going to move down to item 4B. We've got a few minutes before we can do the one informal hearing. So let's look at 4B1, case number 19-44, Sarah Daly, physical therapist.
Ms. Daly is present with her counsel, which can then introduce themselves to you.
Okay.
Hello. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Matt Skelly. I'm speaking with Dr. Sarah Daly. And I'm happy to do this. Sorry, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Dr. Sarah Maggie Daly.
Dr. Cornwell, you have a script for the informal hearing.
This is an initial review, isn't it?
Oh, I'm very sorry. This is an initial review, yes.
Okay. So we're trying to decide what to do with this. And so I think this is the second time we're considering it.
Yes. So the first time the board heard it, they requested that Ms. Daly undergo a fit for duty evaluation, which she has completed. You have that as part of your supplemental investigation report. Now that she has completed the requirements that you requested, you are back at an initial review.
Okay. So, Ms. Daly, would you or your counsel like to make any kind of statement before we probably have some questions for you?
Yes, Dr. Cornwell, if the board would allow, I would like to make a brief opening statement just to kind of summarize what has transpired up until today.
Okay.
So this case is before the board on its second initial review. Dr. Daly's former boss at Honor Health, Jeff Abernathy, filed this complaint alleging that on 5 instances over a 2-week period beginning on July 24th, 2019, Dr. Daly overcharged 5 of her clients. I think I want to make it clear now that neither Mr. Abernathy, any of Dr. Daly's fellow employees or any of her patients have ever complained about the quality of care that she has provided. This case is about her record keeping at the end of July, early August of 2019. So at the first initial review hearing, which was in the May session, Dr. Daly reiterated that she has never intentionally overbilled anyone. She admitted that she had some difficulty recalling the specific instances that the board questioned her about because she didn't even know about the accusations being leveled against her by her boss until after she left Honor Health, which I believe was in late August of 2019. Second, during that time period, again, July 24, 2019 to August 8, 2019, she was suffering from PTSD. The board was concerned that her psychological condition may affect her abilities to provide adequate care to her patients. And at her own expense, she underwent a psychological evaluation with Dr. Laird after that first initial review, which I believe members of the board now have. I want to briefly talk about some of the findings of Dr. Laird. She provided an extensive report, but I really want to hone in on what I feel was the most important two parts. On page 8, she's quoted as saying, Dr. Daly's actions during the relevant time frame were consistent with what she disclosed to the board, meaning that the issues she had documenting her time and her work were related to her PTSD. And that was what Dr. Daly surmised at the hearing. She also concludes, Dr. Laird, that the precipitance, this is a quote, associated with Dr. Daly's behavior regarding the complaint have dissipated. And she has a greater understanding of her past symptoms. So just to kind of elaborate on that conclusion, Dr. Laird, after she left Honor Health in August 2019, right after the relevant time period, on her own, Dr. Daly, I'm sorry, I apologize, Dr. Daly, on her own, she sought out psychological help to help her deal with the symptoms associated with PTSD. This was separate from anything that Dr. Abernathy was accusing her of. It was prior to the complaint. And as Dr. Laird has pointed out, that was successful. Those symptoms are no longer present. So I guess the final point I want to make is Mr. Abernathy described the overcharging as fraudulent charges. That's how he chose to frame his complaint. I don't know what his motivations were framing it that way, but we now know after Dr. Laird's independent evaluation that these weren't fraudulent charges. These were accidents, and we know the cause of those accidents now. The cause was, to put it shortly, PTSD, and the cause is now been completely mitigated. We also know they weren't fraudulent because Dr. Daly had nothing to gain from overcharging these five clients on enumerated occasions. She wasn't putting any money in her pocket. You don't overcharge or defraud anyone unless you have something to gain from it. And here she did. So the circumstantial evidence also supports Dr. Laird finding that this was an accident. It wasn't fraudulent. The record keeping issues that the board probably has some questions about were caused by PTSD, and now we feel that that issue's been resolved. So, I'm sorry, there's one final point that I do want to make before questions. Dr. Daly goes to what Dr. Quinton referred to as maintenance counseling sessions.
That's what I'm caught in the bathroom.
So what that means is she's still going to counseling, even though her PTSD issues have not resurfaced in some time. This is just for overall psychological balance and well-being. But sort of as a side benefit, I think, is that she's going to be in close contact with a psychological professional who can further assist in identifying whether or not these issues that caused the problems that we're talking about today are starting to resurface. So I think that's an important fact for the board to know. And with that, I will open it up for questions to Dr. Daly directly. And I ask that at the conclusion of this hearing that the board dismiss the complaint. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And so I'm assuming that you're willing to answer any questions. Okay, so does any of the board members have a question? Let me start then. So you left that practice, and are you on your own now? Does I understand that right? You have your own clinic?
Yes, sir. So I left in August, and as he mentioned, at that time, I realized that there might have been something that I hadn't realized before, that the grief was still affecting me. So that's why I went and sought my own independent counsel and took a break. But in the meantime, kind of built things up and found a location and opened up my own practice January 1st of this year, which was interesting timing in 2020 to try to do that. But yes, so I am on my own. I'm an out-of-network clinic. Out of Central Scottsdale.
So do you have others there working for you, with you?
No, sir, it's just me, but I am inside of a gym setting, so there are other businesses around.
Okay, all right. So I think the fitness for duty report, I think that was fairly clear. Things are going really well. My question seems to be, you know, what about the future? I mean, if what the future is past behavior. And so in the past, you were unable to document accurately, which led to some overbilling. So how do we feel comfortable that this really is in the past and it's not going to surface again under some type of stress that you don't even see right now?
Yes, and that's why I am doing ongoing maintenance counseling. They're a little bit more spaced out right now just because actually the psych eval and a few other things took a much, plus COVID, took a much harder financial hit. So I'm spacing them out, but I am still doing them regularly. So, and my counselor knows to be very transparent with me that if any symptoms of depression show back up, to let me know immediately, and so I can take care of those before I continue, like take a break from treating, figure that out first, and then go back. And then I will say, so I did purposely choose to not deal with insurance for multiple reasons. But I am a cash base, it's a flat rate fee. There is no opportunity to overbill. I probably actually, on a regular basis, spend more time with my patients and do more with them than I even state ahead of time, especially right now with COVID, I have them, so I can spend extra time with them if need be. So I have taken what I think is every precaution that I can think of to make sure that this doesn't happen again. On top of that, I have mentors in the field that I communicate with at least on a weekly basis.
And so, and you have it all set up so your documentation is happening. You're not documentation for insurance, but you still need to document the same thing, the same requirements are there.
I have a fully compliant documentation system. All of my documentation is done. I have even, when I first opened, because I knew about all of this, I was having a colleague, I would take out all necessary information for it to stay HIPAA compliant, but just have them check documentation and just make sure that I was on board with that. And they said yes. And then for a brief period of time at the beginning of COVID, I did pick up a PRN job at the VA hospital or the veterans home attached to it because they were short staffed. And so part of that training was, again, they require that you go through documentation training and get checked off on that as well. Have gone through that very recently.
When was the last time you had any kind of formal training, education, and documentation?
That would have been when I picked up the PRN job. So that was mid-April this year.
And who conducted that with you?
I'm sorry, what?
Who did that with you?
The VA hospital.
Okay.
So the director of rehab services and the other full-time PT checked over everything as well.
Okay. And so they checked it over relative to the VA system?
Well, and just in general, I mean, they have to be very compliant with everything. So I am more than willing to go through any documentation CEU course that you want.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions?
It's Dr. King. Dr. Daly, Dr. Cromwell, I appreciate you asking that question. I had the same question. It sounds as though you have been very proactive, Dr. Daly, on seeking out things to support you. It is interesting that taking a formal documentation course was not one of your proactive things to take on. I'm considering that documentation and billing questions is the reason that we're visiting with you today. So I appreciate you being willing to take a CEU course for documentation specific to, I think, documenting physical therapy within our State Practice Act, not just a particular system within a particular healthcare facility.
Anyone else? Okay, so do I have a motion or is there any discussion?
Dr. Cornwell, this is Peggy. I'm concerned. I mean, I think it's fabulous that Ms. Daly had a fit for work recommendation that she's fine, but it was obvious from the investigative report that she was not fine. And I have concerns because of the investigative report. Now she has no one looking over her shoulder. She's on her own. And she obviously did not listen to her supervisors about treating the patients or billing, et cetera, despite being numerously spoken to. So I would be in favor of probation for 1 year, a documentation course for 8 hours with a chart review of 3 charts, and an ethics course.
This is an initial review.
Oh, well then
you can
offer a consent.
If you want to do something like that, we'd probably have to make it a consent agreement.
Correct.
Or move
it. I'd be willing to do that. Otherwise, I would like to make a motion then to forward this to an informal hearing.
Which motion are you making, Ms. Hunter?
I'll do the first one first. Sorry, Karen. I'll offer those, if the board agrees, a consent agreement for probation 1 year, a billing course, documentation course for 8 hours, and ethics, maybe the AZ law.
Don't say maybe. Either put it in your motion or don't.
I'm sorry?
Don't say maybe. Put it in your motion or don't.
I put that in my motion. Thank you.
Okay. So let me make sure I have it right. I have 8 hours of documentation, 8 hours of billing, 8 hours of ethics, and the AZ law exam. Is that correct?
I think she could take the AZ law and not the ethics.
Okay. So the motion before the board is probation for 1 year. I assume early termination?
Correct.
I assume that all courses can be taken online?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. So before you is a motion for 1 year of probation, which would include a consent agreement, 8 hours of documentation, 8 hours of billing, and passage of the Arizona law exam. We need a second.
Wait a minute. Also, 3 chart reviews.
I'm sorry, 3 chart reviews. Thank you. That's the motion before you. Is there a second?
And Karen, can I just get a clarification before Dr. Cornwell, Ms.
Absolutely.
Hunter? Are you finding then, as part of the consent agreement motion, a violation of ARS 32-2044-13? Because we are going to have to identify a statute in order to...
Correct.
Put in the consent agreement. And now I am referring to the investigative report on page 1.
Correct. So the allegation, the sole allegation that you're considering at this time is 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed. If you want to add in additional allegations, the best move would be to move this to a hearing.
I withdraw my motion and make a motion to go into an informal hearing.
Did we have a second, Karen?
You did not.
Okay.
So she can go ahead and withdraw. She has now presented a second motion for an informal hearing that still needs a second.
Wait, Peggy, did you want to include the other items in the investigative report?
I'm sorry, Mike, you're breaking up. I can't hear you very well.
There's other items in the investigative report that if we go to an informal hearing, do you want to include those so she could be noticed properly?
On page 3 of the investigative report, the investigators identified 2 additional statutes that could potentially be added to the allegations for a informal hearing.
Sorry, I'm having trouble with my computer here. Yes, I would include those. Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay, so the inclusion, just Ms. Hunter, just in case I'm unclear whether you can see it, the inclusion is ARS 32-2044-4, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. and ARS 3220420, failing to maintain adequate patient records. Is it your wish in this motion to add those two allegations?
Does that include R4-24-304?
And the companion rule for the documentation. Thank you.
Correct.
Yeah. We still do not have a second.
Dr. King, second.
So it's been moved and second to move to an informal hearing to add ARS 2044-4, ARS 2044-20. You are in discussion.
Yeah, I have concerns about whether or not she did violate the law, and with the PTSD that she whether or not, even though currently she's fit for duty, if what she's doing is adequate in the long term, especially operating as a sole proprietor where there is no one looking over her shoulder or monitoring her. It just gives me a grave concern that, that there could be a slippage in her condition, and that even with the PTSD, I just have a hard time not. I'm in favor of the motion, that I just can't see just ignoring everything that happened for that diagnosis.
Mr. Harris, maybe you might be able to help me with this question. We can offer a non-disciplinary order of continuing education. Can we define continuing education somewhat broadly?
Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, as long as it is continuing education, I do think you have a lot of discretion to identify the types of continuing education. But continuing education, it must just simply be limited to that.
All right. Well, here's what I'm thinking, a non-disciplinary, and I know we have a motion, so we need to kind of deal with that, but I'm thinking that there's a better way to deal with this without going to an informal hearing or finding a violation. I really do understand the concern about the future, and that the present right now is looking pretty good for her, but we don't know how well she is really managing things. And we don't know how she's going to react to stresses that are in the near future. But there's got to be a better way to deal with this. And so I was thinking if we could match monitoring as part of a continuing education, I think we would get pretty much the same thing without it being disciplinary.
Monitoring would not be considered continuing education.
Well, it is if the monitor goes over the records that they review and provides feedback,
and
corrections, et cetera.
Well, this is a question for Mr. Harris.
Yeah, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, I think what we're probably trying to do is create something in law that doesn't exist, unfortunately. I very much appreciate your comments, Dr. Cornwell, but I do think that any type of probation or monitoring, which is typically defined as probation, would require a formal consent agreement where we would have to find findings of facts and conclusions of law. If there was a way to accommodate that result, I certainly would point you to that direction, but unfortunately our statutes don't permit that.
Oh, phooey. Okay. All right, we're in the discussion of the motion, and there is a second.
This is Bustillo. I am in favor of moving this to an informal hearing. Looking at the phone interviews with some of the other colleagues and things like that, I feel like we do need to ensure future competence. And so if that's the only way we can do it, I feel like that's what we need to do.
Anything else? All right, it sounds like the silence tells me that we're ready for the question.
The motion before you is to move to an informal hearing and add allegations 2044-4, 2044-20, and the corresponding rule to 20. Dr. Cornwell?
No.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
The motion passes. It'll be moved to an informal hearing. Thank you, Mr. Skelly. Thank you, Dr. Daly.
Thank you, members of the board.
Yay. Let's move back up to item 4A, number 19-51, Natalie Meyer, physical therapist.
Dr. Cornwell, I'm going to pause for a minute so that we can stop the recording and restart it, please.
Okay, we're pausing at 9:17.